First John chapter number 4. Probably only dealing with two verses tonight. Actually, it would take some time to try to deal with these verses. If we tried to exhaust them, which I don't have the ability to do, and neither does anyone else. These two verses are extremely important to your life. Extremely so. So we're in chapter 4. I'm going to read beginning with verse number 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Now listen to this. Not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. Father, bless our efforts again tonight. We know that we are nothing except you. Use us for your glory. I want to magnify your darling son tonight. Yes, Lord. Give me the ability to do so. Yes. May we leave this place rejoicing because of what you've told us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. And the verse preceding the verses that I read to you, John talks of the manifested love of God. And he talks about the manifested love of God toward us. Let me remind you that God would be love if he never sent his son.
Amen.
But we'd never know what that love was. So the manifestation of God's love, that is the bringing forth thereof, of the love of God to mankind, is shown in God sending his son.
Amen.
That marvelous act that God performs in sending his son is an act that will never be duplicated. God will never do it again.
Amen.
Christ will never do it again.
Amen.
Once was sufficient.
Amen.
It's kind of like the kick of a mule. One is sufficient.
Amen.
When God sent his son into this world, the purpose and the plan was all of God, and it is nothing more or less than God manifesting his love to his people.
Amen. Right.
Amen. We get confused quite often when we talk about love. But let's remember, John is speaking of agape love, God's love, pure love. Love that is unimpressionable. I know that disturbs a lot of people, but it's so that you've never impressed God. All of us, no doubt, have thought once in a while we've impressed God. Boy, didn't God enjoy that.
Amen.
Well, the fact is, we do not impress God.
Amen.
Now, the hard thing, the thing that we can't understand in this is because we try to compare it to natural love. Natural love is all impression. Why did you fall in love with that little gal? Or why did you fall in love with that handsome brute? Remember that, Justin. Why did that happen? That's private. We won't talk about it. But remember that it is not impressionable. God is not impressed by what you do. He's not impressed by your person. He's just not impressed about you whatsoever. So then, God didn't send Jesus because he was impressed by us. He sent him because he loved us.
Amen. Yes, he did.
And he loved us before we could ever love him.
Yes, he did.
I hear people often, and it's obvious they don't love the Lord, but they'll say, oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. May I say this to you? You cannot possibly love the Lord till he loves you first.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
It has to come. It's like the sunlight. The sunlight can't shine on the mountain until it shines.
Amen.
It cannot be reflected until it shines. And that's exactly what we do with the love of God. We simply reflect it.
Amen.
Like the sunlight on a mirror. We reflect the love of God. And our love toward God is nothing more or less than the Holy Ghost whom he has given us, making love back to the Father.
Amen.
When we think of love, we always have that physical part of it involved. You have to separate that entirely. Remove the physical part and recognize that this is agape love. This is God's love sent to us, undeserved, unwanted in most cases, but yet God loved us in spite of us. I want to give you three thoughts tonight. If I may, first of all, I want you to note, if you will, God's love is defined in these verses. He sent his Son to be the propitiation. That word propitiation is the word hilamos. And it literally means to satisfy or to appease. So Jesus came to appease God. Now, here's something that all of us need to just park our mind a minute and listen carefully. Don't let your mind run off from this, okay? When Jesus came to this earth, he came simply because God sent him to satisfy himself. You see, you can't satisfy God. You cannot appease God. And therefore, the only one who could appease God is who? God himself. So God sent his only begotten Son as a man. Now, why a man? Why not something else? Because it was man that God was going to save. It was man that God loved. So God sent him, the God-man, into this world. Twofold individual. Number one, God. Number two, man. Now he must be God and he must be man. He must be God in order to satisfy God, and he must be man in order to die. And so Christ came into this world with a purpose to die. He didn't come to live like most of us have. You see, our thought is to live. Jesus knew he was going to die.
Amen.
And only one time do I recall in the text that he asked the Father to take this cup from him. Yet he bowed to the will of God and said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So the definition, the very reality to define love is to recognize that God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. I want us to look at this verse again, Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 11. It's on the screen. Now watch this. Look at it carefully. He shall see. God shall see of the travail of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied.
Amen.
By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Here is the satisfaction of God. The text in your Bible that tells you the person that can satisfy God. No one else can, but Jesus did. So God sent him for the purpose to satisfy the demand of the law. Now God had given that law in the Old Testament. He'd given that law to the Hebrew people. And the Hebrew people put themselves under that law. They told Moses, go on the mountain, see what God wants us to do, and we'll do it. Moses went on the mountain to find out what God wanted him to do. And before Moses got back off the mountain, they was down there naked doing the hoochie-coochie.
Yeah, that's right.
Worshipping idol gods. By the way, the worship of idols will always lead to nakedness and immorality. Let me say that one more time. The worship of idols will always lead to nakedness and immorality. It's a one-way path. It'll lead there every single time. That's why the world is eat up with immorality.
Yes.
Because they're idol worshipers.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
So Jesus comes then for the purpose of satisfying the demand of the law, the demand of his Father, the demand of the Lord God Almighty. And as God, he can satisfy God. As man, he can be the propitiation for our sins. He can be the satisfaction and the appeasement of both the law and the Father.
Yes, he can. Yes, amen.
There it is. The definition of love. Jesus came to die for sinners.
Amen.
God sent him to die for us. His people.
Yes. Amen.
Secondly, this thing of God's love being declared. I'll have to back up a little bit. Herein is love. You see that? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. Now that's just a declaration. God declares this to be so. Now listen, if God said it, it's so.
Amen.
And the declaration that's made in this passage is that God loves us.
Amen.
I don't know of a more comforting verse in the Word of God. Now John 3:16 is comforting. Psalm 23 is comforting. But here, this declaration of the love of God toward us sure is comforting to me. I've heard time and time again, folks, now listen, God's people very often get discouraged, and what they want to say is, no one loves me.
Amen.
But that's just not so.
Amen.
If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, God loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He reminded Jeremiah that he loved him with an everlasting love. And he loves us with the same love, an everlasting love.
Yes. Amen.
Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? Listen, God loves us. In the circumstance you find yourself at any moment, any day, God loves you.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
You'll never get out from under the love of God. We've already looked at Romans chapter 8. There we learn that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And the list is long. All the things that you face every day of your life, all those things are listed. And yet the scripture tells us that we can't get away from the love of God.
Amen.
You can't escape if God loves you.
Amen.
He'll love you in spite of you. He'll love you in spite of those around you. He'll love you in spite of what you do because He loves you.
Amen.
It's an everlasting love. It's a love that stays with us. Herein is love. Not that we love God. And I remind us again that we can only love because He loved us first.
Yes.
The light must shine upon us before we can ever reflect the light.
Amen.
The love of God must first of all be toward us before we can show the love of God to others. I like to think of it like this. We are literally walking mirrors where the love of God's concerned.
Amen.
But our mirrors often get dirty.
Amen.
And we don't reflect the love of God as we should.
Amen.
What if for one season in our lives, whatever the season may be, just pick out some time period. And in that season of your life, decide, I'm going to keep the mirror clean and I'm going to reflect the love of God just the way He loves me.
Amen.
Boy, that'd be a marvelous thing, wouldn't it?
Yes, amen.
But there are hindrances to that, naturally.
Amen.
And the biggest hindrance is that you're human.
Amen.
I'm human. And because we are, we can't reflect the same amount of love back to others that God has given us.
Amen.
We absorb some of it. Thank God for that. But because we're human and because we're not clean, we can't reflect the love of God to others the way we should. Mom loved me. She loved Gary most. I mean, that's fact. All of us knew that. She didn't make a secret about it. Huh? I've often asked Ginger, what in the world is she seeing him? Now, that's fact. I think he was more Hazelwood than all the rest of us. He looked more like her and acted more like her and had her wit. And I won't go any further. But Mama's love. Now, Mama loved me. Mama loved Jerry. Mama loved Terry. Daddy loved us seemingly all alike. I think he preferred me more than the others because I was first in line. But I don't think he loved me any more than he loved them. Huh? Now, when we think of this, and you know and I know, I have two children. I like to say that I love them both the same. But I lie when I say it. Because in reality, one of them seems closer to me than the other. Now, Angie was my darling growing up. Man, that gal, she was just everything a daddy would want her to be. Everything. She fit the bill of a Christian teenager, of a Christian young woman, and now a Christian grandma.
Amen.
As much so as any person I've ever seen in my life.
Amen. Yes.
Now I mean that. And I know her, but she's still human. She still has to whip her husband once in a while. You know, get him in line, straighten him up. But love, the love we have for our offsprings and the love that they have back toward us is nothing if it isn't the love of God. All it is an impression. Do you understand that? It's only an impression. And that impression can change tomorrow. I'm fearful that a lot of times young people marry because they're impressed. Most of the time, they marry because they're in lust rather than love. Never learn to love each other until some trials and heartaches come down the road. And sometimes never learn to love each other. And when that lust has been satisfied for a while, then they want to part and head out the other day. See, it's just an impression. But they said to each other, I love you. How many times? I love you, I love you, I love you. But they didn't love each other. No. No. But God loves us with a pure love, an unimpressionable love. A love that expands all of time. And a love that looks over all of our iniquities. Are you listening? Did you ever notice how my kids are not as bad as your kids?
Amen.
Here's the excuse. Oh, she got with the wrong person. Or he got with the wrong crowd. The problem is, they are the wrong crowd. If it weren't for the grace of God, that everyone perish. We would as well. But thank God for the rescue of His love that brings them out of this worldliness and puts something in them that gives them a ear to hear what He has to say and a vision toward heaven rather than this stinking world.
Amen.
Love is declared in the fact that God declares, herein is love. Not that you love God, but that He loves you.
Amen.
Now number three with me, please. God's love is described. God so loved us. What a statement. That's in verse number 11. The word so means to such an extent. I could say that God loves us to such an extent. God loves us so. Now, what is the extent? Only God knows. You don't know. We can't fathom the love of God. With all of our measuring instruments, with all of our telescopes in space, we cannot measure the love of God. It's immeasurable. It is so. God loved us so. One of the greatest things you can say to an individual, I love you so. Now, we like to put so much there. The much kind of limits it a little bit. God loves us so. To a certain extent. And only God knows that certain extent.
Amen.
But I'll tell you one thing. I've looked at history. I've looked at people in my time. I've studied my own walk and those around me that I love. And I've found out that God's love is far greater than anything we've ever done to the contrary.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing to know these two verses are in the Bible.
Amen.
What a blessing that John brings them out at this point. Now, he's doing that because he's introducing what he's going to give us further. Because he's going to come on now and magnify our love toward each other again.
Yes.
He's done it already, now he's going to do it another time. And he's doing it on the basis of God so loving us.
Yes.
And if God so loves us, then we ought to so love others.
Amen.
So love others. Now, how much is that soul where you're concerned? It ought to be the same soul that God loves you.
Amen.
But one more time, let me say this. We're human.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you without apologies, natural love won't go beyond its measurement.
Amen.
There are some things that natural love literally comes to an end. It's over with. It's done. Tally ho. Goodbye. See you later.
Amen.
Yeah. It just, that's human. And because it's a natural love, it can come to an end. But the agape love of God will never come to an end. What a glorious thought. If I live 1,000,000 years on earth, he'll still love me. But I'm not going to live that long down here. He's going to take me home where I can really experience the reality of his love. The first years we were married, Ginger and I didn't get to spend a whole lot of time together. I was in service, and because of the circumstance I was in, I had to leave quite often. And she didn't know where I was, and I couldn't tell her where I was.
That's right.
I couldn't contact her. And therefore, there was that lack of communication. But we still love each other. But we couldn't experience that love until we came together again. Time and time again, I can remember walking down the ladder from that big stinking airplane that I'd spent so many hours and days and months in. When I left the service, I left with 7,000 hours, 7 1,000-hour pins from flying that airplane. You understand what I'm saying? Once in a while, we'd be able, when we got out of a particular zone and it didn't make any difference if they knew where we were, then we could go through the shortwave people and call home. Boy, what a blessing that was. To hear the voice of the one you love. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? When you can hear from God.
Amen.
I'm not talking about hearing from the preacher. But when you can hear from God. I've sat many a morning with my Bible reading the Word of God. Oftentimes, it's just words I'm reading. But every once in a while, every once in a while, God will speak. I'll tell you, when God speaks, things pick up. Glory. When God speaks, the whole thing changes. Now I'm experiencing that that only God can allow me to experience. I'm experiencing the love of God. And even at that, it's still long distance, as I was speaking a while ago. But some morning, hallelujah, some morning the saints are going to rise. Some morning we're going to be in His presence. Some morning we'll see with our eyes the one who loved us.
Amen.
Amen.
Far beyond words can describe.
Glory.
So loved us. Can I tell you, there's nothing greater than to know that God so loved
us.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah.
When someone says to you the next time God loves you, you say, wait a minute, God so loved me.
Amen.
God so loved me. You might just throw them for a, you know, kind of a flip spiritually. Because they, most of the time, they don't notice that. God loves you. Sure He does. If you belong to Him, you're so loved. So loved. I'm going to tell you something. Every once in a while, I go back up to Romans chapter 8 and I run through that one more time because I just want to see what God said.
Amen.
Couldn't get me away from the love of God.
Amen.
And I've decided nothing.
Amen.
I've decided, and you'll decide it as well, if you read it, you'll decide as well that nothing can separate us from the love of God. By the way, that's what Paul decided. For he said, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's so good to be loved by the Creator. Let's stand together.